Good morning. Pardon my weak voice today. I just came back from a youth convention yelling at kids. For our chapel service today, we begin with the first article and explanation. You'll find that in the front part of your hymn book on page 32. Page 32. The first article of the Apostles' Creed and then the explanation. You can join me with that. Come on in. We're maybe starting early. Page 32 in the front part of the hymn book, the first article and explanation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, that he protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil. Father, the divine goodness and mercy. We sing the first four verses of our hymn.
Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive reading of the words of Psalm 145 printed on our bulletin. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. You open your hand. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. The Lord preserves all who love him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, a mother asked me to go and visit her son, who was in his early 20s. And he had recently quit his job, another job. This had happened a number of times, apparently, and he was now very comfortable just to live on welfare and on food stamps, even though he was living free or free rent at home. And it bothered her that he had gotten so sort of lazy. So I went to speak with him. And I said to him, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Well, why should I work if I've got all this money coming in from the government?" And I said, "Well, where does all that money come from?" He said, "The government." I said, "Where does the government get its money?" He had to think about it for a minute. "Taxes, I guess." I said, "Okay, who pays taxes?" "People." I said, "What people?" "You, my mom." I said, "That's right." So I took out my wallet and I slapped it on the table in front of him and I said, "You want to take my money? Go ahead, take some money out of my wallet. I'll have your mom bring her purse in here. You can take some money out of her purse. Is that how you want to live? Is that fair? How about if we did that to you?" And he kind of blushed, didn't know what to say. One of the saddest things to observe in a child is a child who doesn't appreciate what they're given, and especially the kindness and the care of a parent. And maybe they live in expectation and sort of a sense of entitlement. It's one of the most frustrating things to watch and observe. I've heard people say, "I'd like to take that kid and fly him to the middle of Africa and let him see exactly what other people have to live like and how good they have it." Sad to say, for myself, this is how I can sometimes be with my expectations of God and how he takes care of me. I can just assume his providence. I can assume his care. I can just assume that when I get up in the morning, I should have a house. I should have a car. I should have a bed to sleep in at night. I should have food in my refrigerator. I should have clothes in my closet. I should have a job because I should. I just expect it. It's very easy for me, I know. I'm very tempted to forget who provides all of this for me. I'm very tempted to forget just exactly how I have been so blessed by God. And also how quickly God could, if he chose, take all of this away from me, just as we see he did with Job in the Old Testament. How suddenly all of it was gone in just a matter of days. An old Norwegian pastor by the name of Locke says this: "Just as sunflowers all turn toward the sun, so the eyes of all wait on the Lord, even when they're not aware that it's God providing things for them." Our Lord tells us that his heavenly Father causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Even the atheist who rebukes God, who spits at the face of God, who denounces the cross of Christ, who laughs at the biblical teachings, even the atheist, God is still generous and kind enough to give his daily gifts and blessings to them. If you've ever seen somebody who's really good at gardening, not me, but if you've ever seen somebody who's really good at gardening, they pick out the exact piece of land where they put their garden. They break the sod carefully. They make sure to nourish the soil. They plant things in the right place. They know exactly how much sunlight and shade there needs to be. They're careful about the watering. They put up a nice beautiful fence to protect it from any animals that might take the food away. If you look at Genesis chapters 1 and 2, how God laid out the world, and especially the jewel, the top jewel in the crown of his creation, humanity, we see such tremendous care from this gardener and the tremendous love that he places into the design of this world that we get to live in and into our very own lives as well. This wasn't just some random thing. This wasn't just something that crawled out of a swamp and turned into monkeys. This was something that God specifically created by his decree, declaring exactly how everything should be set in place. And when we look at our first parents, we consider how God, in such a loving way, took care of them and provided for them, even though they greatly rebelled against him and pushed him away. And we see especially how important our souls and our bodies are to God through those first chapters of the Bible. Now, sometimes we may wonder, well, if we have this caring and benevolent God who takes care of everything, then how come we have to face troubles and trials and difficulties in this world? Why can there be sometimes so much heartache and so much loss? Sometimes we want to blame God for that. And we forget that it's really us, we, sinful humanity, that's the cause of all of this, not God. The corruption of our hearts causes us to blame God for our condition of having to live in this sinful world. But the fact that he's not chosen to just utterly destroy all of us and take everything away is still part of his providential love and care for us. And for those who believe and trust in him through his Son, our Redeemer, he permits things to become difficult for us for a number of reasons. It might be to convert us to him, to cause us to turn to him. It might be to shift our eyes away from all the things in this world that we love to get so fixated on that are just dying and fading away, so that we remember what is eternal and what is heavenly, what really matters in life. It might be to cause you and me to lean a little more firmly on his grace and his care for us. As we think of St. Paul pleading for three times with God to take away his thorn in the flesh, and the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, every creature in the world, animals and humans, should certainly give thanks to God, but especially those of us who have come to know and to understand his grace for us in Christ. I was just out west. In the state of Washington, Mount Rainier is a beautiful sight, and there are many people that try to climb it every year. They estimate that 5 to 6 climbers die on Mount Rainier every year. The greatest, I think, loss in one sweep was in 1980 or 81. There were 11 climbers that died in an avalanche. Just recently, in the month of June, there were 6 who died on Rainier. 4 of them were new climbers, and 2 of them were guides that went along with them. Imagine for a moment, if you would, people that are trapped on the top of a mountain like that, and rescuers must now come and risk their own lives to get them and to pull them out of danger. And there is a huge potential for an avalanche and a great crevice and cavern that they could fall into. But the people who are there, let's say that 4 of them are new to this and they don't realize really how difficult and dangerous that this is. But there are 2 in the group who really do, who know and understand and can comprehend. And when the rescuers arrive, the rescuers bring lunches for them. They bring sandwiches for them because they know they're probably hungry. And all 6 of them sit down and begin to eat. And the 4 of them, who don't really comprehend just what great danger they are in, enjoy the sandwiches and are grateful to those who brought them to them. But the other 2, who know the danger that these rescuers put themselves in to get there, and they know the great danger from which they are now being spared, they certainly appreciate the sandwiches. But they look at that with a completely different set of eyes. They have another deeper, much deeper appreciation for the work of these rescuers just beyond those sandwiches. The world may look to God and be somewhat grateful at times for the good things that we get to enjoy in this life, if you will, the sandwiches. But you and I have been blessed to know and to understand the grace of God through Christ. We have come to understand that he has spared each one of us from everlasting destruction that would never end by the work of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to pay for every sin we've ever committed. And by faith in him and by trust in him, we have the wonderful hope of going to heaven to live eternally with the angels by faith in Christ through grace alone. We can look at the earthly blessings, the sandwiches that we get to eat in this life, with a completely different set of eyes than the rest of the world. To God alone be all praise and glory. Amen. Please rise. Please join me in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Continue with our hymn.